in public health. We've known for decades, we've talked about it in our research, is racism being a public health crisis. But to actually have federal organizations say that racism is a public health crisis, it brings about a totally different perspective. I think having that key is going to help Black women make the connection. It's just the first step in that.
Welcome to Future Health Now, where we're all about advocating for health equity and generational wellness, starting today. If you're a public health professional, parent, or community leader concerned about the well-being of our next generation, then you are in the right place. A great way to plug into this community is to sign up for our monthly newsletter at futurehealthnow.com, where we'll keep you informed about upcoming events, educational content, and ways to stay engaged. Today, Siobhan had a chance to sit down with Dr. Angelica Jeter, Chief Strategy Officer for the Black Women's Health Imperative, an organization working to eliminate barriers to wellness for Black women and girls. Dr. Jeter leads the organization's first national anti-racism initiative. She also served as the first ever Chief Health Officer for the City of Atlanta, appointed by Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, and led the pandemic coordination team assembled in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Dr. Jeter and Siobhan talk about the impact of racism on the health of Black women, the work the Black Women's Health Imperative is doing to create resources for Black women in the workforce, and her hope for future generations. We hope you enjoy this conversation with Dr. Angelica Jeter as much as we did. Enjoy.
Hi, Angelica. How are you today?
Hello. I'm so excited.
I know. I couldn't wait to talk with you. I'm so excited about all of the good stuff we're going to talk about today.
It's so good. I think there's so much. There's always so much to discuss when it comes to public health and the work. So I'm very excited for our conversation.
Absolutely. So let's start with, what do you wish everyone understood about your body of work as a public health expert and the why that fuels your leadership?
Ooh, especially that last part, the why that fuels my leadership. For the past 15 plus years, I've really used data and research and, you know, program evaluation to really tell the story of my community. I'm from Mississippi. I was raised in Jackson. I was raised by my mother, and understanding her experiences as a Black woman in this country, understanding what Black women go through as a Black woman in this country. What I really want people to understand about my body of work is that it really and truly does tell the story of Black people from the South who have done everything they can to be the best that they can be. And despite that, the systemic racism that's embedded in this country has created a barrier to our health. And so when you look at my body of work, it's telling the story, and it's also providing solutions and recommendations, and it's providing a guide on how to change the system to protect the health of Black people in particular. So that's what I want people to understand. And I don't even just want people to understand it, but I want them to use it and apply it and embrace it and expand it, because my work is just the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that is really powerful what you said. It's just people understanding, because for so long, I didn't even understand what Black women were up against as I saw my mom, you know, raising me and understanding what she went through and then seeing it take effect, you know, within her health as she aged. And so I definitely have a great appreciation for the dedication that you have to this area of focus, for sure.
Thank you. That's a very real thing, right? As Black women, we are so engaged in our lives in so many ways, in a sense of, you know, trying to build our life for ourselves. But then we have an entire community that we connect with and support and help build and guide. And we're just living, right, within this system. And half of the time, it doesn't get to a point of us making that connection between racism and discrimination and our health outcomes until something major happens.
Right.
Because racism is so normal when it comes to our experience in this country in particular. So thank you for that. That's another part of the work that I really enjoy, is connecting with Black women and helping them make the connections to understand how the system is impacting their health and what they can actually do about it.
Yes, I just realized that over time, I have made a habit of compartmentalizing different things that I felt, and I didn't even realize it. And so that in and of itself causes stress on your body, and you don't even think about it and don't know it until you know, if someone points it out. And so I just really want everyone listening to understand that, you know, you have these feelings, you can allow them to be present, and then, you know, speak up. Don't be afraid to speak up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Being an advocate for yourself is so essential, especially for Black women, because most of the time we're waiting for someone else to speak up for us, or we don't feel as if, you know, we have a safe space to do so. So we're waiting for someone else to create that space for us. But I think to a certain extent, those things are helpful. But as Black women, for Black women in particular, we have to be able to create that safe space for ourselves to be prioritized, to be cared for, and then be able to speak up when things just aren't aligning with what you want. Like, it's so important. Like, nah, this doesn't really speak to my soul. This
right.
doesn't need my energy right now. So.
Now, how have your worldviews around public health, particularly for other Black women, been shaped by your own lived experiences?
I think it ties deeply into, again, thinking about racism as a public health crisis. It wasn't until, I believe, the summer of 2020, after the murder of George Floyd, after the murder of Breonna Taylor, and these long-standing and sudden commitments from multiple public health institutions, multiple executive leaders from these Fortune 500 and 100 companies, who suddenly, and I keep saying that because although racism has existed for more than 400 years in this country, suddenly addressing equity and racism and discrimination was a priority. And in public health, we've known for decades, we've talked about it in our research, is racism being a public health crisis. But to actually have federal organizations say that racism is a public health crisis and to declare it on a national level, it brings about a totally different perspective. And for Black women in particular, when we're talking about health outcomes and resources that we need, when we talk about Black communities and thinking about how racism is ingrained in where you live, work, how you age, the access to care and resources, the level of care that you actually engage with your doctor, what you believe about what you can actually do in home ownership. It's ingrained in our everyday lives. And so when it comes to my worldviews around public health, and specifically thinking about racism and discrimination, and that being declared a public health crisis, I think having that key is going to help Black women make the connection. It's just the first step in that. And so my worldview was really shifted when that happened, because it really gave me hope. it gave me hope. When you're doing work around equity and justice, equity is great and people kind of understand equity, but when you talk about justice, they get that a little bit more. And that's what this is leading to.
Now, they say it's a, you know, public health crisis. If you had to narrow that down to the biggest 2 to 3 public health challenges that are disproportionately affecting Black women over the next 10 years, what would you say those are?
Well, there are 3 things and they are all interconnected, because I had to think long and hard about this one. It actually goes back to a point that you made at the beginning of our conversation. The first one is chronic long-term stress from racism and gender discrimination. When we talk about the experiences of Black women in this country, that is also associated with racism and what we go through on a daily basis. So the chronic stress associated with racism is aging us by 7.5 years. It is killing us prematurely as it relates to heart disease, breast cancer, even our maternal health outcomes. Racism in this country is also decreasing our financial wellness and health. Black women are now paid 58 cents for every $1 a white man is paid, which limits our ability to pay down our student loans, build wealth, buy a home, and really create equitable opportunities for ourselves and our families. So when we talk about chronic stress associated with racism and discrimination, even though a Black woman might say she's fine, but the biological, physiological, emotional, and financial impact that racism is having on her is killing her. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing, chronic stress associated with racism. Second thing is thinking about our ability to hold people accountable as it relates to the effects of racism, accountability, as well as measuring the impact that it's having. So we have a lot of research that's going on around racism and equity and diversity and all of these things, but we don't actually measure the effects of what it is that we're doing. We aren't implementing things that actually speak to the experiences of Black women. So we're creating programs that are highly ineffective, and they don't center on the experience of the most marginalized groups. So we need a certain level of accountability, measurement, and effective implementation for programs that actually work and speak to the experiences of Black women. And then last but not least, is a lack of funding and prioritization when it comes to public health resources. So we have these global pandemics that are happening. We have COVID-19, we have monkeypox, we have all of these other illnesses and diseases that when they hit the world, they affect Black and Brown people the hardest. We aren't changing the system and actually giving public health institutions the funding that they need, then how can we be effective? We are only as strong as our weakest community. If we don't protect them and empower them, then what are we doing?
Right.
Those would be my top three things.
Yes, and I felt each and every one of those with all of my heart. So when you talk about those system level changes, and I had a chance to take a glimpse at the website, which is beautiful, by the way. I'm so excited about this work. And that's why I wanted to jump on and share it. What are the system level changes that you and your team are working so hard to positively impact through this Fair Work initiative?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited. The Black Women's Health Imperative has created what we call the Fair Work Initiative. And it is an opportunity for us to do exactly what I just said is a major issue, creating a tangible, measurable resource that helps us shift the system to protect Black women in the workforce. It's comprised of four key strategies. And I call them strategies because they go way beyond just the index or toolkit, but they are strategies. We have the index, we have our trainings, we have research, and we have the toolkit, but they are strategies that really help us measure what's effective. It helps us center the voices of Black women. The index, for example, is this web-based tool where executive leaders can say, hey, we have implemented some new policies to make the workplace more fair and equitable for everyone. And we want to know, is this effective? Is it actually working? Are we putting our efforts in the right place? They can come to BWHI and partner with us, and we can help them do that. They can actually get a score and measure the policies and practices and the workplace culture. We have 350 metrics that measure fairness in the workplace. So this has never been done before, never seen it. I actually received the index today, so I'm so excited. Today is October 4th. I'm so excited to be able to review it and share that with the world next year. But we also said it wasn't enough. To create the index, we have to follow up with some training. We could give you a score, we could tell you what's going on, but we have to actually teach you how to do what it is that we recommend you do as a part of that score. We have trainings as a part of the Fair Work Initiative. And then we surveyed over 4,000, nearly 4,000 Black women across the country. And we asked them, what are you going through at work? And what solutions would you like to see? So when we say solutions that center the voices of Black women, that's what we mean. Actually talking to Black women, having that conversation, and then taking what they tell us and applying it to the work. That was so important for us. And it's just essential for every single part of the initiative. And then last but not least, because those three parts really focuses on the executive leaders and getting information to them, we created a toolkit that's called Art for Wellness. It's an anti-racism toolkit for wellness, specifically for Black women. And it gives them tangible language, information, and resources that they need to navigate the workplace now. So all of these things will be launched at the top of next year. So we're kicking off 2023. Very quickly, we're kicking the door down.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're very excited.
Now, how can listeners apply their influence to support this incredible work if they were to just take one action step forward?
I would say, I don't know if we just be one. I would say two things, share and collaborate. Share it with your platforms, exactly what you and your team have been doing, which again, thank you. I want to openly say thank you for that. Sharing and reach out to us to collaborate because we can't do it alone.
Mm-hmm. Now, for both you and our listeners who are in the public health arena, or even adults just are overseeing the health of our youth today, what's your greatest hope for the legacy left behind for future generations?
That they don't have to keep trying to solve the problem of racism.
Over and over and over again.
It's a very real thing. So we had, you know, this study that I just mentioned, and we have some phenomenal people on our team. I have over 30 consultants and partners, employees who are around the world. But one woman said, everything that they're saying is the same thing that I heard 20, 30 years ago. And it saddens me deeply that we still haven't solved this problem. We made progress, but the problem hasn't been solved. So my hope for future generations is that they can move on to the next thing. They can move on. We don't have to continue to just helping people understand, but we can actually get to the solutions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with that and appreciate that. Now, can people sign up on the website to stay informed and engaged? Where can they find you online so that they can follow your thought leadership?
Oh, thank you. Yes, Fair Work. That's one word, fairwork.bwhi.org. Visit that website. There's pop-ups and all kinds of things on there when you can sign up for our newsletter. You can also share your story and things that you've gone through in the workplace and help us continue to identify those solutions. Executive leaders should visit fairwork.bwhi.org to learn more about the tools that we're creating and also sign up. We are identifying pilot partners. So for everything that comes out of the Fair Work Initiative, we are going to pilot it, test it. We have a whole list of companies that have signed up to pilot the resources that we're creating, but we always need more pilot partners. And so we call them legacy builders, and we're searching for them and want to connect with them. People can email me directly. All of my information is on that website, ajeter@bwhi.org. And then it's Dr. Angelica, DRPH, on all social media platforms.
That is amazing. Angelica, is there any other question that you wish I had asked you that I didn't?
I don't even think there was any other question. I would just say that for Black women in particular, invest in your rest, invest in your self-care, prioritize your health. Racism, in the words of Dr. Kamara Phyllis Jones, racism saps the genius of the Black community. To that, I would also add the health of our community. And so for Black women in particular, please invest in your health and your rest and understand the value of what you bring to any space that you are in, whether it's work or at home. So that's it for me.
Yes, I believe it. I feel it. I receive it. Thank you so much for being here today, Angelica. This was such a great conversation, and I'm looking forward to just amplifying this work with you guys and seeing all the change that's going to come of it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you, Siobhan. I'm looking forward to the conversation, the next conversation that we have, because hopefully this won't be the last one.
That's right.
That's a wrap to another edition of Future Health Now. We're incredibly grateful for the opportunity to serve you with this content and want to stay connected. The best way to do this is to sign up for our monthly newsletter at futurehealthnow.com. While you're there, we want to hear your feedback and make sure you feel this community is a resource that helps you feel best equipped for the public health education journey, one that you'll be proud to be a part of, and share the content with others so we can empower the healthiest, well-informed human population in history. If you haven't already rated the show on Apple or wherever you listen to your podcast, please simply tap the number of stars you feel this show deserves. This helps to get this content in front of more people and again, gauge how we can continually add more value to this community. This podcast wouldn't be possible without the help from our executive producer and production team at Chat with Leaders Media. If you're looking to launch your very own B2B growth podcast in the industry you serve, go to chatwithleaders.com. Now go enjoy a healthy, encouraging, and joy-filled day.